We can provide statistics on pretty much every trend in society. Some things we'd rather not count, like the numbers of children who die in the United States because of abuse and neglect. It averages somewhere around 5 children per day. There's general agreement that's 5 too many. Oregon and dozens of other states and jurisdictions signed on to the National Partnership for Child Safety to reduce and even prevent child maltreatment and fatalities. It takes a public health approach to the issue. We have two guests to talk to us about this. From Oregon, we have Tammy Kane Suleiman, who's the Oregon Child Fatality Prevention and Review Manager. Welcome, Tammy.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Welcome.
Good to have you. Michael Cull is with us as well. He's the Associate Director at the Center for Innovation and Population Health at the University of Kentucky, also an Associate Professor of Health Management and Policy. Michael, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
So, Tammy, start us off with the Oregon perspective. What has Oregon signed on to here?
Sure. So, we were first introduced to this approach back in 2018. I attended a conference, actually, on the East Coast, and really, at that point, began thinking about how we could add continuous quality improvement to the child fatality review process that we have in Oregon. And really, I think what I want to start out with saying is that we, in child welfare and specifically in our program, are fully committed to improving our child welfare system. And that's really in alignment with our Oregon Child Welfare Vision for Transformation, which is focused on supporting families in prevention, enhancing our staff and infrastructure, and using data to enhance our system. And that is exactly in alignment with the work of the National Partnership for Child Safety. And really, I think what it's done in Oregon has brought us some great tools around standardizing our process that allow us to critically review our most tragic events. And then from that information, we identify system factors that may be contributing to bad outcomes with families. And ultimately, our goal is to learn from these most heartbreaking situations so we can prevent future tragedies in similar circumstances. The learning we have had through this process, it really cannot be understated.
Let me talk about numbers here, because I checked national numbers. Something like 1,800 to 2,000 children die each year of abuse and neglect. What is Oregon's recent trend?
Yeah, so we are talking today about our critical incident reviews. So those are fatalities that meet certain criteria. Those are child fatalities that the family has had some sort of contact with the department within the preceding 12 months. And so just in comparison, last year we had 34 child fatalities that were assigned for the critical incident review, which is a process that is required through Oregon statute. This year, as of December 1st, yesterday, looking at our numbers, we have had 22 child fatalities. You know, and even though we've seen a decrease from last year to current, every individual case is heartbreaking, right? And it's a tragedy. It's really why we're so focused on using this approach for prevention.
So, Michael Cull, break out the approach then for us. I mean, it's about taking some approaches that have been used in other fields, it seems like, in figuring out what the numbers are and then working backwards from there to reduce them.
Yeah, so the National Partnership for Child Safety is a national quality improvement collaborative, and it is modeled after, as you said, other quality improvement collaboratives that we see in safety critical settings like healthcare and aviation. So it brings together a large number of jurisdictions. We're now up to 26 nationally that are agreeing to standardize their approach to reviewing these high critical incidents or low base rate events inside their systems. And it's akin to what a hospital would call a root cause analysis. So it takes a systems approach to looking at these events that fortunately are relatively rare in any of our systems. In a healthcare example, it would be things like a retained foreign body where a sponge or an instrument is left inside a patient, or surgical site infection where, you know, you don't see them happen very often in any one hospital system. But when you can share across a large number of systems, these data can provide, you know, otherwise inaccessible insights to help us improve our systems. So each jurisdiction in the partnership has come together, as Oregon has, and it's a peer-to-peer learning model. So this is about a group of jurisdictions voluntarily coming together to share data and learn from one another. They shift their review process away from one that's sort of case-based, looking at a single case, towards one that can standardize the output of those reviews. So we can string those stories together of these kind of, you know, these tragic events over time, so we can learn from them in a different sort of way.
So you're looking at common factors in the fatalities, for example?
That's correct. And importantly, we're pushing to think, certainly looking at the professional and the role that the, you know, professional decision-making is having, but really pushing systems to look beyond just, you know, what the caseworkers were doing in the case to what influences the system had going on at the time. And so how can we address things that might have a more meaningful impact, you know, across our system and across all the systems now participating?
When you bring things like safety science to, you know, highways, hospitals, aviation, with the other examples you gave, I mean, you have things that you can do, like, you know, safety checks of the engine, seatbelts, guardrails. It seems like parenting would be a lot more resistant to those kinds of corrections. Or you're not talking about the parents so much as you're talking about the system.
I'm sure as we you know, get better at this, it's going to be a little bit of both. But I think critical to what you said is you're right. In a lot of those systems, it's much more obvious to see the ways you can kind of engineer safety into a system. You can change anesthesia tubing in an operating room so that it won't accidentally put onto the oxygen port, things like that, hard stops. But what they also identified in those safety critical settings like cockpits and ORs is that a big piece of what was preventing safe care was how humans were interacting with one another. How do people communicate inside a cockpit? How do we standardize the way we communicate with one another? How do we create settings where people feel safe speaking up, challenging one another, giving candid feedback when they are concerned about safety issues? And so that's a place where we can really leverage the learnings from those other settings to bring into our setting, where it really is largely just humans interacting with humans. We don't have a lot of math that we can apply, as it were, or engineering solutions to fix the problems we're dealing with in child welfare.
We're talking about the National Partnership for Child Safety here on The Exchange with Michael Cull, an associate director at the Center for Innovation and Population Health at the University of Kentucky, which is providing a lot of the science here. Oregon is part of the National Partnership, one of 26 jurisdictions that has signed on, some states, some counties, some other jurisdictions. Tammy Kane Suleiman is from the Oregon Department of Human Services, the Oregon Child Fatality and Prevention and Review Manager. You can join us on The Exchange with your questions, your comments, at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Tammy, you mentioned that this more or less started 3 years ago, back in 2018. Oregon's already been going through some changes in how it approaches child welfare, has it not? I mean, so is this just part of that whole general reconsideration of foster care and its value?
It sure is. Yeah, I appreciate that question. Our work in the Child Fatality Prevention and Review Program is really in alignment with transforming our entire child welfare system. And I think the benefit of the National Partnership for Child Safety is, again, learning from other jurisdictions and sharing tools, sharing rules and procedures that, you know, multiple states around the country are going through similar transformations. We work within, you know, a system that has historically been oppressive and racist. And so I think the work we do in a review of our child fatalities is really looking at the community at large and how our families are being served and what we can do differently in our work and within our system to do a full transformation. So I appreciate that question.
There is a greater emphasis over time, isn't there, in attempting to keep children with birth families rather than put them into foster care?
Yeah, the research says that if we can safely keep children home and within their communities and with their family, they will have better outcomes. And that is our goal. And that's, you know, again, using the data that we are finding in our most extreme outcomes is really beneficial. We can provide tools to our casework staff to ensure that they are providing the supports that families need to do that. So, yes, that is still our goal, and that is part of the transformation to serve families intact when we safely can do so.
So it seems like a potential issue here is that you can develop the best practices and come up with the tools for measurement, but if you still are understaffed in caseworkers and their loads are larger than it allows them to see children on the periods at which they need to see them, that can present a problem. That has been a problem in Oregon in the past. What's the current situation with caseworker numbers relative to cases?
You know, I don't have that specific data, but resources have been a struggle over the years. I think, we're in our transformation, we're really looking at building those partnerships with the community. We can't do it alone. Child maltreatment is a public health issue, and it's preventable. The research is real strong that protective factors that can help families weather the storm together are necessary, and those are like social connections, quality child care for our families, access to health insurance, engagement with services that reduce stress and economic hardship. So we realize we can't do this on our own, so a lot of our work and transformation is building those relationships within our communities and working together to support families.
So prevention before intervention is the ultimately a goal here.
Absolutely.
So, Michael Cull, I mean, is there basically one approach at this point, are the jurisdictions, states included, taking a bunch of different approaches and comparing notes on what the results are?
Yeah, I think that's a more accurate way to describe it. It's very much, you know, jurisdictions have different capacity to resource this work. They have different rules that guide, like what Tammy was describing, the criteria for review. So we have to, you know, we bring a set of principles and strategies and techniques, again, largely borrowed from these other settings, on how to take a look at these critical incidents and then standardize the output. And then really importantly, use the data from them for improvement work inside your systems. But it varies a lot from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, what that looks like on the ground. Oregon's been a really quick adopter. They're actually a jurisdiction that we now pair new jurisdictions with because they've really quickly developed a very mature process for looking at these critical incidents and then using the data to drive change.
Well, Tammy, that must feel some sense of responsibility there, that having the other states look over your shoulder and say, how'd you do that?
Absolutely. But, you know, we benefit greatly just by those interactions with our other jurisdictions. And Dr. Cull has been integral. We work really closely with him. We have learned so much over the last couple of years and really with the goal of keeping children safe in Oregon. So I can't even stress enough of what we have learned from the national partnership.
We're talking about the National Partnership for Child Safety, the idea being to reduce and prevent child maltreatment and fatalities, which range above 1,800 a year. As you heard, in Oregon, the number last year was 34. So Oregon is a signer honor. That's a terrible phrase there, sorry, but signee to the National Partnership for Child Safety. So we're talking to Tammy Kane Suleiman at Oregon DHS, the Child Fatality Prevention and Review Manager, and Michael Cull at the Center for Innovation and Population Health at the University of Kentucky. If you have questions or comments, join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Michael, I mean, there are lots of states and jurisdictions, obviously, that have not signed on. Are they taking a wait-and-see attitude? Are they telling you that they just have no particular interest, or they got this themselves?
Yeah, this has been a process of, I don't think we said at the beginning, but this is a collaborative that's supported by KC Family Programs, which is a national nonprofit that works in the child welfare space. And so it really started with a core set of jurisdictions that were interested in advancing what had been some recommendations out of the 2019 report from the Commission to Eliminate Child Abuse and Neglect Fatalities. And so we put together that initial cohort, and it has just sort of grown organically, very quickly, frankly, from 2019, where we had 8 jurisdictions, to the 26 that we have now. So, you know, we add a jurisdiction every couple of months, and it's very much just sort of jurisdictions interacting with either us or KC Family Programs and hearing about the work and deciding when they want to sign on. We certainly hope we get, you know, every jurisdiction in the country at some point sharing data and doing this work.
Yeah, relevant to our listeners, California is actually not part of the National Partnership for Child Safety. At least they hadn't been as of a couple of days ago. That hasn't changed, I assume, Michael.
Well, so child welfare systems organize differently around the country, and Oregon is a state-run system where the state runs the child welfare system. California would be a system that we would describe as state-administered and county-run, mm-hmm. so the counties kind of run their own child welfare systems. L.A. County and Santa Clara County are jurisdictions that have participated in the partnership, L.A. County being the largest child welfare system in the country, so it's quite a large system.
State of Kentucky, I noticed, not part of the list. Are some of the counties there on it?
No, it's a state-run system, and they have not yet come on board with the partnership. Our center is relatively new to Kentucky, so we actually started this work at a research and policy institute, Chapin Hall, at the University of Chicago. So we've recently moved this work to Kentucky.
So, Tammy, it seems like DHS then, in its approach here, the hope is that people will not necessarily have less contact with the Department of Human Services, but have it in different ways. So you'd be getting proactive sorts of things out there so that you don't make contact with families in the Child Welfare Division. Is that a good summation?
That's a great summation, yep. The upstream work within the community is just integral to our transformation. And, we want our communities to be there for our families. And once they enter the child welfare system, sometimes the resources are lacking, the service array is lacking. And so I think the more we can do upstream and build our communities to a place that families know where to go when they need something, the better off for everyone in Oregon and children in particular.
So, Michael Cull, it seems like part of this then is not just analyzing a child death by abuse or neglect for what happened, but also for what did not happen.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's absolutely accurate. It's about really taking a comprehensive look at. Really, Jeff, what we know is that these events are really rare, but the casework that goes on is not. This casework is going on all day long, and we don't have bad outcomes. So it really is about understanding the influences in the system and just how we can make the system more effective.
And Tammy, you had the numbers for last year, the whole year, and so far this year. Has it fluctuated because of pandemic at all?
It's really a bit too early to tell. I think we'll need a little bit more time on that. What we have seen consistently is we have a couple pockets of age groups that seem to be more vulnerable, of course. So our 0 to 12-month-old infants, mm-hmm. 10 of the 22 fatalities involved infants, and primarily unsafe sleep environments. And our other high-risk population is our teenagers between the ages of 12 and 17. Mm-hmm. We also saw 10 youth fatalities this past year, and fentanyl, accidental overdose of fentanyl has been key in those. So we are starting to explore, more of that trend.
All right. Lots to look at here. The National Partnership for Child Safety brings together Oregon and 25 other jurisdictions around the country. Tammy Kane Suleiman is with the Oregon Health and Department of Human Services. Michael Cull from the Center for Innovation and Population Health at the University of Kentucky. Thank you both.